Welcome to Common Salvation, the Sermons and Other Thoughts of Pastor Philip Hoppe, a pastor in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. This sermon was preached February 17th and 18th, 2024 at Trinity Lutheran Church in Colby, Kansas and Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Hoxie, Kansas. The text for today was James chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. Let's listen in.
The text that calls for our attention then is our reading from James chapter 1, and especially these words, "And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Andy had grown rather weary. He had never received any education after high school, and he had never really been taught any useful skill that he could put to use in a good job. And so work was always sort of a struggle. He kept working because he had to pay rent and he had to eat and he wanted to have a little fun. But then one day, one of his friends stopped by and told him that he had just signed up for a bunch of government benefits. And he told them it was rather easy. He told Andy he should give it a shot too. Housing would be cheaper, health care would be free, and food would be subsidized as well. Even things like cell phones and cell phone service could be received. By this point in his life, Andy had grown to hate getting up in the morning anyways. He hated the thought of even going into work, and so he decided to give it a shot. For you see, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. That desire, though, then, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. Sure enough, Andy found out it was not too hard to get signed up. Soon, Andy was sitting in his apartment, scrolling through his phone and playing video games all day. And to be honest, at first, he loved it. No work, no responsibility, and he still had everything he used to have. In fact, he even had a few things he never had had before. But sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. That joy that Andy first felt indeed did not last. Andy grew lonelier and lonelier. His apartment grew dirtier and dirtier because he had no real energy anymore. The games he played, although he didn't notice it at first, but they became very dark games, filled with demonic characters and violence. Depression came and lived at Andy's house, and it got worse and worse. And as far as Andy could tell, there was no reason to live. Stephanie grew up in the church. Her parents took her every Sunday to church. And when she started to get to that age where she had interest in boys, she had a dream that many girls do. Find the right guy, settle down, have a family and a life together. But then when senior year came, the star basketball player, Tim, all of a sudden seemed to have a growing interest in Stephanie. She was quite pretty, and she hadn't really dated hardly anyone in the high school. But she knew Tim wasn't the right guy. After all, he was not a believer of any sort, and she had been told by others that he had quite a temper. But still, he pursued her. Others were kind of jealous that she was receiving this attention from him. And of course, his friends came up and said that that temper that she had heard about, that was all just because he was passionate about everything he did in life. And then one day, when Stephanie was walking by in the hall at school after a game, Tim was there and he was taking off his jersey quickly to change into a clean t-shirt before getting on the bus. And she noticed then in that moment, for the first time, just how fit Tim was, just how muscular he was. Maybe she should give him a chance. For you see, every person is tempted when they are lured and enticed by their own desire. Then that desire, when it is conceived, it gives birth to sin. You see, Tim's impassioned nature meant he was not patient at all for her affection. And the next thing Stephanie knew, she was doing things she had told herself she would not do. She liked the boy, and she rather liked the new friend she had made because of him, but internally she was not at peace. But sin, you see, when it is fully grown, it brings forth death. Indeed, Tim was passionate in every way. But unfortunately, that also meant that his anger often erupted loudly. And then it happened one day. He put his hands on her. It left her crushed on the inside and bruised on the outside. He then went about telling lies about her and also spreading truths about her that no one else should ever have needed to know. He dropped her and he moved on. She was left with only her scars and her tears. Tommy was the kind of kid that always liked helping people. You know, he was that kind of kid that would go over and rake the neighbor's yard without anybody saying anything about it. He was the kind of kid that if he saw a neighbor person coming home with groceries, he'd run over to help carrying them in. But Tommy, as he grew, also recognized that he sort of liked having nice things. And so he was willing to work hard at whatever age he was. He started out with lemonade stands, and as soon as he could get a job, he did. And by high school, he was stepping out as an entrepreneur. And for his age, at least, he had had some success. He dressed well, and his car was sort of the envy of many. But then as senior year was drawing to a close, people started asking him what he was going to do after high school. And he thought about it long and hard, and he finally decided that he wanted to make a difference. That he was going to open a food pantry in his town, because there was not one in his town, and there wasn't one for miles around. And he did so. But you know, his old friends would stop by and ask him why he wasn't making more of himself. After all, in school, everybody had loved Tommy, and Tommy got good grades as well. There was nothing holding him back. The house he was living in, it was fine, but it was quite modest. You know, Tommy, most days, he loved helping people. But there were those who were trying to work the system. And those government regulations in order to run a food pantry, they seemed to increase all the time. And getting volunteers, it seemed near impossible at times. One day, one of his buddies stopped by and said, "Tommy, I've got an idea, but I need you. If all goes well, we'll be rich." As you see, each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. But then that desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. Tommy decided that he could have it all. He would still run the pantry, and he would go into this endeavor with his friend. But his buddy kept asking for more and more of his time, and as he did, the hours at the pantry got much less and less. Soon, Tommy could be heard telling people that everybody who was coming in was just leeching off the system. Perhaps he told that story because he planned to close it all down, which he did. And sin, when it is fully grown, it brings forth death. It was a few years later when Tommy was sitting in his new and big and beautiful house. But he was sitting there in that huge living room all alone. Oh, his wife was still with him, but she had drawn herself away from him in many ways. She had withdrawn and was hardly ever in the same room in that big house. When they were together, she told him how she missed the old days, when Tommy cared about those common people in town. She would also yell at him about how quickly he often sent their kids away when they wanted his attention, because he was always looking for the next way to make a buck. And yes, those people that Tommy used to help, well, they necessarily had less help. But Tommy, one night, after drinking a little more than he probably should have, was sort of thinking through his whole life. And as he was doing that, his mind finally came around to something he had memorized as a child. A quote from Jesus. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Tears began to flow as soon as he remembered that verse. So what is your story? What is the desire inside of you that temptation will find in you and will exploit? Is it the desire for wealth? Is it the desire for fame and respect, at least among your peers? Is it the desire for pleasure, whether that be sensual pleasure or a simple pleasure like food and drink? Is it the desire to be able to do whatever you want without any accountability? Is it the desire to want what everybody else has? Is it the desire for an easy life where you have no real responsibility for anyone else? Well, you can know this. Whatever that desire is inside, the evil one will supply a temptation for you that fits that desire perfectly. He will offer you what you want in order to drag you away from what you need. Yes, you see, each person is tempted when they are lured and enticed away by their own desire. Even you, even me. But then desire, when it is conceived, it gives birth to sin. You know, most people don't just wake up one moment and say, you know what, today I'm going to leave behind Christ and his ways, and I'm going to choose to walk in evil. That's not generally how it happens. Generally, how it happens is you take just one step or two steps in that direction. You know, you do one little unethical thing at work. Perhaps you flirt just a little bit with that coworker. Perhaps you ignore one thing that one of your authorities has told you to do. But step by step, the sin, it increases and it grows. Soon, all of a sudden, you really think that being ethical almost always is foolish. And that flirting that you did with that coworker, well, it's turned into more. And you think now that you don't have to listen to anyone ever. But sin, when it is fully grown, it brings forth death. You know, you finally get caught for all the unethical things you've done and you lose that job, maybe your career. Your spouse finds out what you've been doing and they leave you. One authority or another steps up and makes clear that there will be consequences for you ignoring what they have asked. And probably worst of all, you recognize in those moments what you have done. You realize that you have left behind walking with Christ in order to chase after one sinful desire or another. Yes, this doesn't just happen to fictional people like Andy and Stephanie and Tommy, but it happens to very real people like you and me. It happens to us. But truth be told, in one sense, it shouldn't happen with us. After all, we're the children of God. We are the ones, our text says, that God of his own will brought us forth by the word of truth to be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, to be new creatures that delight in his way and do not delight in sin. God has called us throughout the scriptures to stand firm. Our text began saying, "Blessed is the man who stands firm." We're called to manifest our thanksgiving for what God has done for us by not yielding to temptation and by praying that we wouldn't even be led into it. And yet, we do fail. We do fall. So let us admit today again how grave our sin is, that we who are given every good and perfect gift from above, from our Father, We still sin. We still rebel. And so then let us throw ourselves completely on the mercy of that one we heard about in our gospel reading. That one who was tempted in every way that we are and yet was without sin. For indeed, that one is gracious and he's merciful. He did indeed make everything possible for us through his death and resurrection. He did of his own will save us through the power of his word and by the work of his cross. Though we are grave sinners, approaching one who has never sinned, amazingly, he gives us everything. Time and time again, he gives us ultimately himself. Indeed, every good gift, every perfect gift, it comes to us from above. For it is in Christ that we are saved. And oh yes, it is also in Christ that we now find the strength against every temptation. Glory be to him. Amen.